the midst of it all, we will stay focused on our wellness. Special guest on the phone this morning, she is a Democrat elected to Congress from the 3rd District of Florida in 1992, a public servant who prides herself on delivering the goods, she says, and services of the federal government to her constituents. She's a native of Jacksonville, Florida. She served in the Florida House of Representatives for 10 years before coming to Washington. Representative Corinne Brown, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for checking in with us out here on the West Coast.
I just left the West Coast. I was on the West Coast visiting the VA facility when I started getting calls from students at FAMU Law School saying, please come to Orlando Sanford because we need your help.
Wow. Well, I don't know if you if you're seeing it in the news, but certainly Los Angeles has been completely captivated and caught up with the case of Trayvon Martin, even though we're all the way on the other coast. And there's a lot of people with questions, a lot of unanswered questions about what's going on there in the case.
I represent Sanford, Florida, and I've represented the area for over 20 years. And I've got to tell you that one of the things, and I was hearing yesterday, over 100 kids came up, and they came to the hearing. And so the energized youth around this, we've got to take it and make it a teachable moment, because there's no good ending to this. So we can have our marches, but in the end, how are we going to take this energy and make it something very, very positive for young people? How can we make things better? How can we ensure that we there are not other Mr. Martins targeted? I met with the police department in Sanford, and I've got to tell you, I have never in my life experienced everything held wrong. Do you hear me? Everything, and they're still doing it. And so that's why when I met with the mayor, who had really come up to the plate, Mayor Tripley, and we talked about what could we do to restore confidence in the system, and one of it was to bring in the Justice Department and have an independent, thorough investigation.
Yeah, a lot of concern now about the State Attorney Angela Corey and her track record. She's now been appointed to that investigation. Her track record prosecuting children as adults, reportedly more black children as adults than white children as adults. Her sympathy with the Stand Your Ground law.
Yeah. You know, I had some of those same concerns. She is the prosecutor from Jacksonville, which is my home, and I don't know her. But in talking to the attorneys and others, they indicated that she would prosecute a ham sandwich. So we need prosecution in this case. So anyway, that's why the Justice Department coming in, working with she's going to be working with the Justice Department and the local government. So I think, and of course, we're going to have oversight and monitoring. So nothing is going to be washed under.
So, in other words, she'll have plenty of people looking over her shoulder, is what you're
Absolutely.
Saying.
Absolutely. You're looking at it as we speak.
Now,
and I am also. So, I'm going to tell it the way I see it and call it. And like I said, it is in my area. And, you know, I want to say this is why it's very important to have African-American representation at the table, because others have not said a mumbling word, not a word.
Well,
and so that's why it's important to make sure that representation is reflective of the communities.
Now, thanks for reminding us of that. I think it's a really key point. We're reading front page of the L.A. Times this morning that Sanford police wanted to bring charges. They requested an arrest warrant from the Seminole County State Attorney's Office, and the State Attorney's Office were the ones who squashed it. That seems mighty suspicious.
There's no question about it. But when I had, last Friday, I flew into Sanford, know, when I left L.A., and I spent over 2.5 hours with the police department, and for the life of me, I could not understand why he was not arrested. There was nothing in that meeting that indicated that he should not have been arrested, and the way they handled it, they drug test Mr. Martin. They test him for alcohol, but yet you don't drug test the shooter.
That's amazing.
You don't do a polygraph test. You just take his word for it.
You don't take
you
his take clothes.
His word for it. I say the other person, they're not here. They can't testify. Well, what can you do? Release the tapes. They didn't want to release those tapes. I insisted that we release those 9/11 tapes. Put it out there. Now you can listen to the tapes. You can review it. You can analyze it and see whether the police department tampered with it.
Now,
you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Get it out there. And that is one of the things I've got to commend the mayor, and that was what I wanted to happen, and we did it that day. And I can tell you the family, I met with them, and then they went and listened to the tapes, the daddy and the mayor, and I understand it was tears all in that room because it was just horrifying.
Yeah, it's
how
horrifying.
This man stalk this boy.
You know what, I have listened to those tapes.
And I tried to be a real balance, and all I'm saying is we need an arrest and we need a trial so that we can move forward.
Well,
I mean, that has to happen.
I've listened to the tapes repeatedly myself. I've chosen not to play them on this show over and over because I know I find them really disturbing. But they're available everywhere online. We have a lot of people.
But the point is, if we hadn't released the tapes, you would not have been able to listen to them.
Yeah, and it turned the tide of public opinion for sure. So we really appreciate your work in getting that done. We have a lot of our Los Angeles listeners that are just, you know, marching and organizing around this case and doing what they can to support. And some of them would like to talk with you. Is that okay with you, Representative Brown?
That's right. I don't have a lot of time because I've got to conduct the hearing at 10, but I do have a few minutes, yes.
Okay, let's check in with Bill calling from Los Angeles. Hi, Bill. You're on with Representative Corrine Brown on the front page. Bill?
Yes, how you doing? I mean,
good, good.
I haven't talked to you in a while.
Okay, short version,
good morning,
please.
Of course.
Thank you.
This is very, very devastating, not only to the black community. Racism is alive and well. Here he is. The dispatcher specifically told this captain watch guy, do not follow this kid, okay? He was on the phone with his girlfriend.
Okay, what's your question? Because we only have Representative Brown.
Well, anyway, you're absolutely right. It is a cover-up, and I agree with that lady was saying as well.
Let me say something as it relates to this community. What they kept calling him? Let me tell you, self-appointed. They did not have a community watch program. He appointed himself community watch. He didn't go through the training, and if you review the training, it always say don't follow. You call in. You follow directions. You don't have no gun. He did everything wrong. But the point is self-appointed.
That is the key, because I can call myself the President of the United States.
Community self-appointed.
Yeah.
They didn't have no community watch program.
No,
none.
I think that's a great point. We can call ourselves anything we want. It doesn't make it
so. That's right. But you all in the media and all of the comments saying, well, he was the community watch. He was not.
Well, I always say self-appointed, Representative Brown.
I think that's the important point there, because when you have a community watch program, they go through a training. They certify. This did not happen with this man.
Okay, let's go to Sarita from L.A. Hi, Sarita. You're on with Representative Brown on the front page.
Good morning, Dominique. I do appreciate you taking my call.
Okay, what's on your mind? What's your question for Representative Brown?
I can just address it to Ms. Brown, and that is, we've been talking, and Dominique has been strong on, you know, us not speaking about violence, and no, we don't want violence. But at the same time, Ms. Brown, can you touch on that? Us stating that we want it being a bounty on this man's head, a clear understanding to others that we're not playing anymore in regards of you killing our kids.
We can't. Listen, this...
Thank you for taking my call.
I don't know anything about some bounty, and that is totally unacceptable in this... I mean, this whole stand your ground law, it needs to be repealed or amended. That's the first thing. It's just the opposite of what you want us to do as a country, as a people. And basically, you change things different ways. And let me give you an example. I was in Walmart, and a woman came up to me in a wheelchair, a white female, and she said to me, "Tax me." Now, I've been elected 30 years. No one ever said that. Tax me so we can fund the food system properly.
I agree with her.
So what we can do to help young people is to make sure they get a proper education. Make sure they have opportunities. Let's expand the Job Corps program so that they can get the training they need. Let's take this energy and put it in a positive way.
Absolutely. Representative Brown, how realistic is it that the Stand Your Ground law would be repealed? I mean, it started in Florida. It spread to dozens of states now.
And let me tell you something. We're doing all we can to eradicate cancer. So that's what we need to do. Kill it. And find a way to amend it. For example, this man, because he was not arrested, he still have a permit to buy guns, have a gun. But if any police force, if you you work there and you're involved in a shooting while the investigation is going on, you don't have your gun.
That's right. You go to your desk and
yes.
You stay off the streets without a gun pending that investigation.
Okay, but that's not the case with this man and this gun.
And this man is not a police officer. Just
he's not nothing.
He was a wannabe. Yeah, and a wannabe cop.
Most dangerous thing are the wannabes.
That's absolutely true. What can we do to help repeal this law or help amend this law? Is there something that the ordinary citizens, you know, can do?
Well, I think we've got over 2 million people to sign the petition.
Yes, ma'am.
So let's get people to sign the petition.
We sure would love to talk to the mayor of your city if you happen to see him.
I have him to call in. Tripoli is wonderful. He has been really, really good.
Yeah, and we'd love to hear from him in L.A. Because, as you say, it's important for us to know that there are some elected officials working on our behalf. You know, it's not just the stonewalling. We invited your governor. He turned us down. Let's go to Chantel from L.A. Chantel, you're on with
her. No comments to that one.
Yeah, he said he didn't have time for us, but we appreciate you taking the time. Chantel, you're on the air.
Hi. I'd like to say that if we as a people start to focus more on what's actually happening, that as black people, we don't have power in our country at all. Like, we've been living under a wash where we feel like we have power and that we've been doing things, but we obviously see that our children, our kids and everything are not safe. They're not safe from violence. They're not safe from their lives being taken. And there's not really much that we can do. We can stand up and get angry at the killer for doing it, but if we put ourselves in his shoes, and if we were the person to have killed a child, no doubt a black man or a black woman would be in jail. So as black people, we can stand up to be smarter.
Let me just say, I 100% agree with you. When I met with the police chief, I said, let me tell you something. There is nowhere in America that a black man could have shot a white youth and not been arrested. I said, could have shot him, and I would have been arrested. I don't know the rest of the results, but it is no way that you could have shot someone and not have been arrested. So, but that is not true. We don't have power. They're trying to take the power from us. We have a power, and we learned a long time ago at the ballot box. And there's an effort to take our right to vote away and instill additional poll tax. In about 40-something states. And so what we've got to do is to remember the power power of the vote. And let me say one other thing. You don't just vote. You have to make them accountable. Now, I'm listening to this young lady talk to me, but part of the problem, and as an elected official for over 30 years, you look out in the audience, we don't show up to the school board meetings. We don't show up to the town hall meetings. We have money coming into the community on community action that we could have prevention programs and opportunity to work with our youth. We don't go to those meetings. So I'm saying you can't say that just putting a president in, he's just one person, but who he has to work with.
Well, thank you. I absolutely agree with you, Representative Brown, and we should look at what's going on with the Justice Department stepping in here, certainly as an example of what you're talking about. We wouldn't have an Eric Holder, and who knows if there would even be Justice Department involvement. Just breaking in right here, though, because we have Benjamin Crump on the phone. He is the attorney for Trayvon Martin's family, and Parks and Crump is his firm. Good morning, Attorney Crump. Good morning. Oh, we've lost him. Okay, it's that kind of a morning. Representative Brown, I know that you said you have to go. You've got a lot going on.
I do, but I want to do this again.
Oh, I wish that you would. I would love to call you. I would love to call you back, and we're going to follow up with you and see about getting the mayor on with you as well.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. It's been a pleasure. 5:40 in the morning. Looks like we're going to have Benjamin Crump on the air. We had him on the phone just a moment ago. You know where you are. We are you. Total Talk Expression. Radio Free 102.3 KJLH.
Walk like you're chosen. Select heads meet here. The front page on Radio Free 102.3. KJLH, the original university. This is the front page on Radio Free 102.3. KJLH.
Radio Free 102.3 KJLH. Wow, good morning. We are talking all week about Trayvon Martin. Of course, we're having our big town hall meeting at Faithful Central Bible Church in Inglewood on Saturday at the Tabernacle. But right now, joining us on the phone, we have Benjamin Crump. He's the attorney for the family of Trayvon Martin, and also Representative Frederica Wilson, who represents the 17th District in Florida. Good morning, Attorney Crump. Attorney Crump, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Good morning. It's great to talk with you. As you know, L.A. is really passionate about the case of your client, Trayvon Martin. And all of this stuff that's coming out now, it seems like the right wing is starting to push back, trying to paint a picture of Trayvon Martin, even spreading false pictures and false allegations. What do you have to say about all of that?
Well, it's just a tragedy that, as his mother said, they killed my son. Now they're trying to kill his reputation, and they are now trying to blame the victim of sorts, demonize him to say this black kid, look at who he is, and he deserved for this to have happened to him in some ways, what they're suggesting. And that couldn't be more from the truth. This kid had a lot going for him. He was in school doing good and had dreams and aspirations. Zimmerman didn't know any of this stuff, this armed vigilante, when he decided to say that he's suspicious and he was going to pursue him. And the tapes are there. Had they as this armed vigilante obeyed the police instructions and not got out of his car, none of this would have happened. And so they're trying to get everybody off of what really happened here and try to get people to face it. Oh, look at this black kid, and he had to have some negativity to him. And it's just a game they play. And so we're not going to get off the message off the ball that it's about what happened on February 26th, not anything else. All this other stuff is irrelevant.
Well, as a mother, it disgusts me. Are we saying that any child that's not perfect deserves to be shot and killed? Absolutely ridiculous and totally disgusting. I really feel like, especially with the false picture that was spread around the internet the day before yesterday, that there should be the same kind of outrage and disgust that we see would such a smear have been perpetuated against, say, Natalie Holloway, who was murdered down there in Aruba.
Exactly. You hit it right on the nail. It's almost as a double standard when it's a minority kid. And the fact that you got fake Twitter accounts and media going with that stuff before they check it out and verify. And that's just the sadness of it. It's profiling and on the institutional level that is the real problem. I think what this loose cannon Zimmerman did, he profiled. But what was more tragic is when our institution of law enforcement and justice profile to have said we're going to make Trayvon the subject and Zimmerman the victim. And now we see the public media from the right trying to do the same thing. He can't be a good kid. He can't be this here with his parents had a kid who is trying to make something of himself, a kid who, for whatever you want to ascribe to him, went to aviation program, and all his professors say he was going to be an aviation mechanic. He was focused. He had dreams. But then when you hear that deafening gunshot wound, you know the dream and his life dies all in that second. And for what reason? Racial profiling.
Frederica Wilson, Congresswoman Wilson, you know, this case has brought into the spotlight Florida's standard ground law. Many of us, myself included, were not really aware of it, but now we want to know what can be done about it. It's spreading across the country. Can it be stopped? Can it be amended? What can we do?
Well, it's hard. You have the NRA lobby and stuff really pushing for this stand your ground law. And it is really, really troubling because when they look at those statistics dealing with that, people who assert that almost 85 to 90% of the time were not arrested. And then when they went to court, it was out of 100%. They said about 90% of them were exonerated. So the sadness of this is that this guy may get away with this, and that's what's so appalling, because we hear the 911 tapes, and we know, and this is important, we just saying, look at the facts, don't get caught up with the distraction. He's talking on the phone to his girlfriend. We got the cell phone records. He's talking pretty much all day to her. When he is walking home, she calls him back because he had got out the rain. She calls him back at 7:12. At 7:17, the police get there, and they say he is shot and killed on the ground. Her phone call lasts for 4 minutes. She is the first part of the altercation with this armed vigilante, and nothing can be said of what this Zimmerman is saying. He has no evidence but his word. All the other evidence is objective, it's tangible, and you got records to prove it. You got 911 calls to prove what was going on. And it's just crazy that they didn't arrest this guy.
Congresswoman Wilson, are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm here listening with great intent.
Well, thank you. What can we do about the standard ground laws? As a lawmaker, Is there a chance we can push back on this, amend it, before it spreads to 50 states?
Well, as we speak, we have a state senator by the name of Chris Smith from Fort Lauderdale, and he is asking the governor of Florida for a special session to do exactly what you just requested. But I don't think that Stand Your Ground will hold up in court on this particular case, because in my estimation, from everything that I heard and the 911 tapes, Trayvon was pursued, and the police told Mr. Zimmerman to stand down, and Mr. Zimmerman was in a truck, it is my understanding. So when they told him to stand down and leave the boy alone, instead of him doing that, he got out of his truck and chased this boy. And when the girlfriend said, run, he said, I'm going to walk fast. This man is bothering me. And so he evidently ran him down. So how can that be stand your ground when Trayvon was the one that was being pursued? That is what's so upsetting to me. And what is even more upsetting to me, Attorney Crump, was what I heard this morning on the news, that the homicide detective reporting to the crime wanted to take Mr. Zimmerman in and charge him with manslaughter.
Yeah, that was in the LA Times this morning, too.
Stopped him.
And that makes it seem, for those of us that are worried already about this prosecutor,
they have a new prosecutor that they have put in place. This is not the same prosecutor. They have someone, they removed that man.
Right, Angela Corey, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a woman.
But we're concerned about her, too, because of her reputation for going after black children as adults.
Oh, my God.
And her zealous prosecution of black children as adults. And, I mean, that's what she's known for, I understand. And I know that the NAACP there in Jacksonville has issued a statement of concern about that, saying that she sends up a red flag in and of herself. Now we're hearing that the state attorney's office were the ones that denied this arrest. And it just seems really worrisome.
It's really a lot of malfunctioning, and I think it's a lot of racism. And, you know, they don't want you to say that. You know, that's not politically correct or something.
Yeah.
So, well, it's so clear.
Well, to me, it's just amazing. It's stunning that they can even say there's no racism in the case. I saw the man that's supposed to be Zimmerman's friend, his black friend, I guess, who says, you know, he's not a racist and there's no racial component to this case. This is the United States of America. We're talking about the South. We're talking about a black child killed. The killer admits to killing him and he hasn't been arrested. How can there not be a racial component to that? Newt Gingrich and Zimmerman's friend and all the rest of them need to go and take some history classes as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
Attorney Crump, do you have a comment on that? I mean, these people trying to say this, there's no racial component to this?
Absolutely. When you listen to the 911 tapes, and I want to thank Public Congresswoman Wilson for her leadership in this matter. But I've always expected a pushback from the right, no matter what. They always try to justify why our lives don't mean that much, why it's not that important if one of our kids get killed. And to deny the fact that that 911 call, when you listen to it, they ask him to describe him, and you know what he says. He has the hoodie, but even before he gets to the hoodie, he says he's black. He's suspicious because he's walking slow and he's black. And that's important because now you try to just totally divorce them from that there. Anderson Cooper said it best. First thing he said to the parents and I was, you know, I'm a white man. I wear hoodies, jeans, and tennis shoes every day of my life when I'm not in a studio. And I have never been stopped as being suspicious.
Yeah.
The elephant in the room is race, and it's uncomfortable to talk about it. We don't want to talk about it, but it's very necessary. We got to talk about it because if we don't, this dialogue has to keep going. We're going to keep having Trayvon Martins over and over again. And Sabrina Fulton says it best when she said it in New York spontaneously. She was shaking. She was nervous. She was sick. And she said, Trayvon Martin is not only my child. He's your child. He's all our child. Because if it can happen to my child, it can happen to your child, too.
And to be honest, I think that's one of the reasons this case has struck such a nerve nationally. For me as a mom, I mean, you see your child. Even the president saw his child. You see your child there. And I mean, every college in the country has a university hoodie. Football players wear a hoodie. So it's not the hoodie. It's hoodie plus blackness that we're talking about here. Representative Wilson, what was the significance of yesterday's hearing on Capitol Hill that and also Attorney Benjamin Crump, the attorney for Trayvon Martin's family, why was that important that Trayvon's parents appeared on Capitol Hill before lawmakers?
The purpose of the hearing was to have testimony from experts on hate crimes and suggestions of ways that the Congress can change some of the laws that affect so many people. And it was important to have the family there because they stand as a textbook example of what we're dealing with in Congress on a daily basis. And these were the Democratic members, basically, of the Judiciary Committee and many members of the Congressional Black Caucus. It was really really historical because 26 members of Congress showed up, and you can go to a hearing and there will be four people. So that was, it was really historical and riveting.
And I think that's also partly attributable to the people hitting the streets. The lawmakers know, the people have their eyes on this. Attorney Crump, was that important for you? I don't know if you follow that here in L.A., the found an officer guilty of racial profiling. It's the first time in the history of Los Angeles Police Department. So maybe this issue has hit critical mass.
You pray it has hit critical mass, and that is something we should all applaud if they...
Attorney Crump? Oh, I think we lost him. And it's,
Okay. I'm sorry. I was saying that is commendable for the LAPD to take action and take a stand on, racial profiling, because if you don't, it's going to keep happening over and over. And as it relates to what Congresswoman Wilson and other members of the Judiciary Committee did yesterday was vitally important, because what it did sent the message that the federal government is watching you, local police, when you don't do a fair and impartial investigation, and when you try to make defenses for somebody who killed one of our children in cold blood. I have to say this. I think, and I've said this before, it is unbelievable what happened to Trayvon Martin. And if it were not true, I wouldn't believe it, but the reality is, it's not a fiction. But if it was, it would be a Greek tragedy, and it would be in two acts. The first act would be titled "The Very Unnecessary Killing of Trayvon Martin," and the second act would be the very necessary investigation into the Trayvon Martin killing and its aftermath. Because, again, what Zimmerman did was bad. His racial profiling of this young man was bad. But what was tragic was when our institution of law enforcement and our institution of justice also profiled him, because nothing else can explain why they didn't do a background check on Zimmerman. Nothing else can explain why they didn't take a drug and alcohol analysis on him. He had just killed a human being in cold blood, yet they do a background check on the kid who's dead on the ground, a drug and alcohol analysis of the kid on the dead ground, but not on the shooter. And then it has manifested itself throughout this whole investigation. We're going to make Trayvon Martin the subject, and we're going to make Joy Zimmerman the victim.
We have to go because it's time for the Steve Harvey Morning Show, but I wanted to ask you just really quickly how you feel about the leaking of the information by the police department there that seems to be smearing Trayvon Martin.
I think it's a conspiracy. No other way to say it.
They're conspiring. The police department can't leak Trayvon Martin's school records, that it would have to be the school district.
There's a whole lot going on out there.
Mm-hmm. So that's another issue.
Congresswoman Frederica Wilson and Attorney Benjamin Crump, I hope that you'll check in with us again and let us update L.A. with your firsthand information. And we thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, L.A.
Mm-hmm. Time for the Steve Harvey Morning Show. I got to go. Until next time, Radio Free family, be well. We'll see you Saturday at KGLH Town Hall Meeting. One love. Oh,